Welcome to everyone listening all around the world, all across the United States. We are coming to you live from the Alien Autopsy headquarters right here, which is the Coast to Coast AM studios in Los Angeles, California. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. And tonight, well, we're continuing our old school weekend here at Coast, which we started last night. And it's all UFOs, aliens, contact. My guest tonight is Emery Smith. And although this is his first time on Coast to Coast, Emery has been involved in the community for the last 10 years. He's been known as an insider, Paul. And he's also in the movie Sirius, where he does the medical procedure in the movie that's gathering the samples from the Atacama mummy for DNA testing. So that's Emery. You know who he is, and you've heard from him, but you've never heard from him. So for the first time tonight, Emery will share his story with the Coast audience. I've met Emery. I've hung out with him. And I found that he wants to speak. He has an image. He has a voice. And you just wouldn't expect from someone that is talking about alien bodies and the Air Force and underground facilities, our government, you know, from Emery. You know, it's a little bit shocking, right? And he's tall. He's in shape. And to me, because I'm only 6 foot tall and he's much bigger than I am and in shape, he's a little intimidating. Well, he's intimidating at first, I should say. And he knows that because he's got this image. But like everything else, when it comes to the subject of ET and contact, we have to listen. We have to keep our ears open. We have to keep our eyes open. That's what we do with our community. And as incredible as it all may seem when it comes to Emery and our own government and aliens and disclosure, it's probably the biggest story of all, right? So tonight, Emery is here. He is here for the full show. One guest, old school, coast to coast. And I'm going to do my best to maybe take a phone call or two a little bit later on. We have a lot to talk about tonight with Emery. And having one guest for the full show is the way it should be. This is very important. And the way that we've laid out the show tonight, Emery, over the last, well, I talked about the last 10 years, but certainly the last few months in our world, our community, and the disclosure things that are going on, nobody has raised eyebrows like Emery Smith and his story has. So get ready. This is going to be a big one. My guest tonight is Emery Smith. Turn down the lights. Get ready. I've got the studio dark. It really is dark. You can follow me right now on Twitter at JChurchRadio. You know the drill. I say it every week. Twitter is live to my left. And any questions or comments tonight during the show for Emery, post it there. And if it's good, and it's got to be smart, if it's good, I'll read it on the air. Okay? Enjoy the bumper music tonight. Knocked it out of the park, didn't we, last night with the bumper music going old school. But tonight, it's even more special. All right, so get ready. Let's do this. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and I'll be right back with my guest, Emery Smith. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Tonight, Emery Smith is with us, and some have called Emery whistleblower. I call him insider. So we're going to do that tonight. And I want to ask Emery, as I bring him on, what the difference is between a whistleblower and an insider. One thing is for sure. Emery Smith is an Air Force veteran with a long history of assignments in highly classified deep black covert operations. He allegedly has been directly involved in autopsying and tissue samples of over 3,000 different species of extraterrestrials. Additionally, he has personally witnessed multiple crashed UFOs in possession of the military and has studied their composition and operational characteristics. I have interviewed Emery before. I have met him in person. And I find that his statements and his experiences directly correlate and line up with other whistleblowers, researchers, authors that are out there in our community. And so we need to really listen to everything that Emery has to say. He's going to be with us for the full show tonight, so get ready for that. He has appeared in the film Sirius. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. He did the DNA tissue sample of the Atacama alien. So you remember that scene, which is pretty sensational and serious. Well, that was Emery Smith. He also appears in Cosmic Disclosure for Gaia TV. And I would like to welcome for the first time to Coast to Coast AM, Mr. Emery Smith. Emery, good evening. Emery.
I appreciate it. I'm all excited about this. Oh. I love it. So thank you, Jimmy, for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Emery. And I'll let everybody know, Emery's at an undisclosed location in a mountain range in northern Montana. But Emery will...
It's classified.
Yes, it's classified. And not to make light of that, Emery, but you have been... you've been on the run, you know, a little bit for a while now, and we've... You know, you've had a couple of crazy brushes with the Men in Black, and some direct.
Going from the Men in Black to the opposite side of the Men in Black.
Right.
You know, I have to comment on that, because it's like we're all like brothers in that, and it's like, you know, how do you decipher, you know, what's good, what's bad? And to me, it's like there is no good and bad. It's basically, who's going to tell the truth and who's not going to tell the truth? That's it.
And why is it that the last... Okay, let me be direct. We've had a lot of disturbance coming out of Washington, D.C. over the last few months since December with videos that have been released or allegedly released from the Pentagon. We don't know.
Yeah,
where those are coming from. The last, we've had two FAA releases of pilot sightings now over the last month. One just came out a couple of days ago, and those are fascinating. So, and then we have you. Are you part of this disclosure? Are they allowing you to speak?
Absolutely. There's no way I would even be here if... more than, 10%, you know, we have this thing, what we talked about is, are we going to let this guy talk or we're not going to let him talk? And this is the biggest question I get on Facebook and everywhere else. It's like, well, how the heck is this, you know, guy out here to be able to talk about this without being killed? And it's like, by the way, I've been, you know, shot a few times and stabbed a few times and, you know, been through the projects and everything, and I conform. In the faction of conforming, meaning I'm going to answer questions and I'm going to tell people everything, but I'm not going to go overboard where the government basically said to me, we got you protected, Smith, but you're not bulletproof, by the way. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. Well, what can I say? And so I'm here to say that, because it has to do with not only technology and the cures of the world, but it has to do with letting everyone know that this stuff is available. It's just being like suppressed right now. And I want that out for everyone, because I want everyone to benefit from that.
One of the things for you, when we have other witnesses and insiders come forward, we have their story, which is important, but we don't have the other things that we would like to see to back up their, you know, to vet their background. For you,
exactly.
For you, we have a whole host of photographs and images, and you at work and doing the medical procedures and testing, and there's volumes of that out there. And that's as impressive as that is, for those that have not heard from you before, Emery, Take us back to how the career for you started in the Air Force.
Well, I just challenge anyone to bring it on, because I don't know anyone out there as far as whistleblowers. Or the, I'm not a whistleblower, by the way. I help the government. We are all in conjunction, and we all understand there is a problem going on with the corporations and, you know, the control that's happening out there. And, you know, I hate the word whistleblower, and I suggest that no one, you know, associate my name with that, because it's not a whistleblowing thing. It's just basically saying, here's the story. This is what happened, and this is my life, and here's the truth, and this is what happened. If you don't believe it, guess what? I got the documentation, all the documentation to prove it. And you know this. Gaia knows this. Wilcox knows this. Corey Good knows this. Everybody knows this. And I'm the only one that actually came out with, you know, some sort of credibility to say this, this, and this. And I got my bosses to back me up, who are astronauts and other, you know, military organizations and other government organizations. They're willing to say, hey, it's true, you know, what Smith is saying. They call me Smith. And I just said, I'll do it. And when I did this, you know, with the last couple shows and with Gaia, you know, I got 10 more insiders that are coming forward this year that are going to back me up. And they're, you know, they're a lot older than me because they were my bosses. But, you know, they know there's a problem with the situation with the world. And they said, you know, we have grandchildren and the stuff that I invented to help cure a lot of different things. And they're like, it's time for that to get out to everybody. And I and that's why I'm like, and you know this as well as a lot of other organizations, as far as my credibility, I would never be out here talking about this if you could not, you know, justify who I am. So I'm like, all right, let's do that. Let's go to all the countries. Let's go to the United Nations. Let's see, you know, what this guy's doing. Because the first thing I hear when I hear someone talking about ETs and UFOs, and I hear them talking about, you know, sustainability and, you know, credentialing, and they're coming out, I said, well, what'd you do? You know, where did this come out from you? And I'm, you know, just so you know, I'm the person that the government looks at to vet people. I'm the guy who vets people for, you know, these organizations, corporations, and things. And I'll pull someone's punk card real quick. And anyone who wants to challenge me, bring it on, because I will shut you down real quick. And you, everyone will know for truth. You know, I have, you know, the 50 signatures, you know, of generals and you know, colonels and stuff around the world and other world leaders that are going to back me up, because it's true. There is a problem going on, and they understand that. But you know what they said? You're a person to do that, not me. You know, I'm like, I'm just a regular guy. I'm just a regular guy with a regular dog. And, you know, what are you talking about? And they're like, no, you can do this. And huh? If I wasn't threatened recently, I would never have, like, kind of, I wouldn't have brought it out so quickly. But because of the fact that of the threat that's happening, I said, well, you know, I'll go to an extent, because I respect all organizations and everyone, because there's a time and a place to release certain technologies, because, you know, you can't just give a transdimensional portal technology to a 13-year-old, if you follow me.
Right. And what we what I would like to do is, for the audience that hasn't heard you speak before and about your background, I want to start with the Air Force before we hit this break. How did you get into the Air Force, and how long did you serve?
Excellent question. And basically what had happened is I had joined the Civil Air Patrol and an Army ROTC unit, like most cadets do, all over the world. It's nothing special, you know. And you know, I acquired my pilot's license really early age, and you know, got into the military early age, and by going into medical, because I really wanted to be a Marine Harrier pilot, but I couldn't get that because they didn't have they didn't have a special program for that. So the Air Force and Army offered me a helicopter pilot, offer. And then the Air Force came and said, hey, you know, we got something else for you at medical. And I was like, man, I just want to fly F-15 Eagles. You know, this is back in 1988. And And I was, you know, a kid, just, you know, amazed by, you know, aircraft and all that stuff. And, and my dad was in the Navy and my grandfather was in the Army. And I just wanted to do, you know, flying and, you know, that kind of stuff. But after a while, medical was more, you know, intriguing to me. So I took the medical part with the Air Force, and they gave me a great deal. And I went in as just a plain 9012 surgical technologist. I'm not a physician, so everyone knows I'm not some sort of MD doctor like everyone portrays me, even though I teach physicians. I have a CME accredited license for that, but I'm not that guy in the United States. Other countries, I am accredited to do other things. I won't get into that. And that's how that unfolded for me.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So from there, I was asked to do some extracurricular things, which we call moonlighting. And they said, you know, you're doing good, Smith. You know, you're the instructor for the Surgical First Assist Program here at Kirtland Air Force Base. And, you know, we know what you do. And they're done. They said, would you mind, you know, taking on another, you know, another program? And I said, absolutely. I said, sure. I was a money hungry little, you know, 21 year old guy. And I was, you know, and I joined the military at 18, like normal guys. And I said, okay, let's go on. You know, and I honestly thought that this program was a military harvesting program for military people who have passed. I did not know I was in disembarking on a military program that had nothing to do with the military. That was basically a program that was clouded by other corporate organizations, but to hide it, they had to use active duty military for it. In case something happened, they could just say, oh, well, Smith died because he was
right
in a covert operation on, you know, planet whatever, or in Afghanistan or whatnot. And I didn't realize that till later on, but, you know, here I am just saying, man, I'm going to make an extra, you know, $2,800 a month. I'm going to take this moonlight job. I'll work 8 hours after my normal work with the United States Air Force, you know, and people, you know, well, so people know.
Emery, let me jump in really quick. A couple of minutes ago, I heard a voice breaking on the line, but you didn't stop talking. And so I don't think you heard it, and that's why I delayed and I said go ahead, because I was listening to the voice, but you didn't hear it. You didn't hear that voice. Did the Coast audience hear what was going on? And I need to hear from you guys. I'm going to watch this in Twitter now. That was why I paused there, and the reaction that I had, that was strange. Emery, did you hear anything?
I'm sorry, I did not hear that.
Okay, all right.
Truth, I did not hear that, but I will tell you, I was threatened if I went on. I was threatened today two times. If I went on this show, I would be killed.
Wow. Well, that was pretty bizarre. Okay,
but I did not hear anything just now.
I
did not hear that. I wish I could comply with that, but it's not true. I did not hear that. But
well,
I was threatened twice today that if I went on with you, I would be killed. You know, I will be killed.
Well, you need to be safe. That's the first thing. But it was just really strange for me to hear that. And you kept talking, so you didn't hear it. I did. It caused me to stutter and delay. And I don't know if it went out over the air. So I'm going to watch Twitter, and I want to see everybody's comments here. I want to know what went out over the air.
I would love to hear that. And, you know, I'm protected, guys, but I am definitely not bulletproof. Asymmetrical threats come at me daily. I have a small team that tries to protect me. And
well, you're 6 foot
right now. I'm designated to be terminated because of this what we're doing right now.
Well, you're 6'4". You're big. You're in shape. You're intimidating. I would almost call you bulletproof. I know if I looked like you, Emery, I would think that I was bulletproof. I would feel pretty good about that.
Come on.
Hey, Emery.
Come on. We look like we're like twins. Come on.
Right. Tell that to my wife. We need to take a break right here, Emery. So be safe. Gather yourself. We'll be right back after this short break. Tonight, Emery Smith, Insider. We're doing it all. UFOs, aliens, autopsies, crash, retrieve, disc, government, disclosure. All tonight. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Saturday night. Emery Smith is our guest for the full show. So get ready. Turn down the lights. This is Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, Saturday night, and our guest tonight is Emery Smith. Follow me on Twitter, at J Church Radio. And this is why Twitter is not only so cool, but so important, and especially for a show like this. Right before the break, I heard a voice come in and say something. It threw me off my game. I couldn't make it out. I was listening to Emery, and I was wondering what was going on. Then the voice stopped. When I mentioned this to the Coast audience and I asked for your comments on Twitter, that's why Twitter is so important. You guys can interface with me directly in the studio. And this is what is strange. Emery, listen to this. I'm going to say, and everybody in Twitter can read this for yourself, I would say that every other tweet says, I heard the voice. And then the other tweets say that they didn't hear it. And these are from different markets, you know, different areas around the United States and around the world. Some heard the voice and some didn't. And you didn't hear it, Emery, but I did.
Sir.
And the audience. Yeah, very, very strange. Very strange. Very strange. And I don't get thrown off my game too often, Emery. I just roll with it and we do the show. And,
We got to point that out. We have to point these out because they are feeling threatened right now. And they know they can't go to the extent, but they will, let's say, they'll discombobulate the situation at hand right now because the next couple hours, we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, and let's, you know what, let's continue. I'm not going to let the man mess with my guest or this audience. So let's go. When we refer to, and which I have done, 3,000 autopsies, 3,000 tissue samples, 3,000 different species, these numbers have been thrown around. So let's actually address this for the audience really quick. What was your job function? Were you walking in and opening up one of those corner drawers and pulling a body out? Or
exactly.
Were you given these samples? Did you know what you were doing? Take us through that.
You know, I took this moonlighting job at night and people think they're, you know, this is a misconception, by the way. I want to straighten this out because people are like, well, he's Los Alamos, Sandia Labs, Los Alamos, Sandia Labs. I'm like, yeah, they owned the property. They owned the underground base. But did you know they leased that out to corporate, entities? And so, level 1, 2, and 3 might be owned by Northrop Grumman, and the other, three levels might be owned by General Dynamics. The other three levels might be owned by so-and-so. So it's not what you think as far as people saying, he worked for this. As I was in a facility that was owned by that facility, but was basically paid for by another, civilian corporation, compartmentalized corporation. And I want to make that clear because I think there's a misconstrued thing going on out there where people are like, oh, well, because they go on my Facebook and LinkedIn. They're like, well, yeah, he's friends with these people with Sandia, these people at Los Alamos. But I guarantee you guys, it had nothing to do with what I was doing because I wouldn't be able to talk to them. They're just my friends, and that's what's going on. And the 3,000 bodies, that were listed, that you hear through Gaia and some other things, that's also not 100% correct because I'm edited when I do these interviews, and I don't appreciate this, by the way, but when they edit me, it's kind of like saying, oh, well, he did 3,000 alien autopsies. That's not true. I had 3,000 specimens over 7 years, and specimens means tissue sample. That doesn't mean like full bodies or whatever. Not all of them are complete full body entities, which I have worked on, of course, but they're not all that. It might be a piece of tissue or something, and I don't like the slang terms that are out there saying, oh, it's a, you know, a salmon fillet or a piece of chopped meat. No, it's like so disrespectful, by the way, to say something like that. You know, if these are samples that are tissue samples that a normal, you know, surgeon or lab technician would understand that, oh, I'm dissecting this piece of meat. I got to get the nerve out of it and send it to the lab. And that's all I did. And then, you know, every, you know, 4 to 8 months, I would get a security advancement if I kept my mouth shut. And, you know, I was so intrigued by this, and I was, like, really amazed by it. And, of course, I, you know, wanted the extra pay because I wanted to get a motorcycle, but as a kid. But at the same time, I was so intrigued by what was going on, and I had such a depth for this and a conscious level of, like, connection with everything I've ever touched with the tissue samples.
Right.
You know, and, you know, yeah, it did start off with just pieces of tissue, and, you know, I don't know where it came from. I have no idea, guys.
You know, Emery, let me jump in. When did you change from the mindset of you were doing tissue samples to the mindset of this is not of this earth, this is alien tissue samples? What made you realize that that was what you were working on?
That's a really good question, because it came to me probably within a year of the program, when I did receive body parts instead of tissue samples. And tissue samples could be as small as a piece of skin or a fingernail. And then later on, you start getting things like a tip of a finger, or maybe a finger, or maybe a hand or arm. And then I started questioning, like, whoa, what is this? And I can't. I'm not allowed to. I'm allowed to take out this piece of tissue from this area using a punch biopsy, or using, you know, different types of technologies that they incorporated into the program, which I can't talk about actually right now until next year. But the thing is, they had different levels of, you know, body parts that were coming in. And then I said, wow, I was like, this is definitely not from around here. I knew it from the cell samples. I knew it from, like, being incorporated with the, you know, the geneticist when they were asking certain questions about, you know, getting different parts. And I was like, okay, this is either grown here, someone made this, or this is from other than Earth origin. And they did tell me, you are now, after a year, they did say, you are now involved with other than Earth origin samples of, you know, tissue. And I said, okay.
Other than Earth origin, what does, yes. I mean, I know what that sounds like, but what does that really mean?
What that means is they are shipping in other than Earth origin pieces of cells and tissues, even on a micro level, that, you know, are not from here, or that were not born of on planet Earth.
When you are getting ready, just like anybody else, you punch a clock, right? You're working. It doesn't matter where you're working at, whether it's the White House or a Ford plant in Modesto, whatever. You're punching a clock, and it's what you do. Are you going in the morning and changing clothes in a locker room with other technicians just like yourself that are working in the same hallway, and they are going into their own labs and working all day long, taking tissue samples from ET, then coming out of those labs, breaking for lunch, going back into those labs, and at the end of the night, you're back in the locker rooms and putting on your clothes and walking out the door, the exit?
That is correct. That's absolutely correct. And, you know, we go in, and it's not as easy as what you just said, as, you know, Ford or, you know, whoever else, you know, those are corporations. I'll tell you one thing, it is a little bit more extravagant than what, you know, you're saying, and it's a little bit more intense than what you're saying, because you are body searched, you are x-rayed, you are not allowed to have anything in you, within you, or, you know, you cannot have any electronics, you can't even have a Casio watch. I mean, you are basically, before you go in, you are stripped naked and x-rayed and CAT scanned, and then tested by dogs for unknown reasons, but they have special dogs that they bred for special scents. I don't know what that had to do with until recently, but you are really checked out before you go in. And even though that laugh, you know, it's a normal thing for us. And just so you know, I'm not the only guy, guys. I'm not the only Emory out there technician that has done this. There's over 700 technicians that had my job that I know right now. I mean, half of them are dead now, but I know there's at least 300 or more technicians that are out there silently that want to talk and they can't. And they're going to bring, I think probably maybe 10 more Emorys to the forefront in the next couple of years that are coming forward, because they also know that there's a lot of things being suppressed that could be helping the world, including, like, you know, big things, not just humans, but animals and mammals and birds and dolphins. And, of course, the sea, the ocean is a big thing now, because the ocean is, without the ocean, we're gone. And Fukushima, we could clear that up in 7 days if they would release this technology. So we're all kind of like, you know, I'm the guy at the forefront coming forward, you know, taking the stabs here. But we also, I'm not the only person. I want everyone to know there's a lot of unseen heroes that are amazing, that have done amazing things in the underground world to allow us to actually have technology that come forward, and also to come forward with the truth, to tell the people of the world, you know, and not just, you know, United States, but worldwide. I speak out to the world. You know, I've been all over the world, and I speak out to the world in general as saying, you know, we got to take care of, you know, Gaia. We got to take care of the earth first, because without that, you know, we don't even exist. Then we got to take care of the animals and the mammals, and then we got to take care of ourselves, because I'm so passionate about, you know, people. And, you know, there's no reason in the world there should be hunger or, you know, water problems or, you know, or homeless problems. It's ridiculous. It's just, it's a money-making thing for all the governments, and they're all tied into it. It's a big, you know, corporate scandal. And, you know, I'm not going to be the whistleblower for that, that's for sure. I'm just saying, hey, guys, there's a problem going on here, and here's the solution. And I wrote these reports. I gave it to the world, and they said, yeah, it is. Thank you. And they're like, well, we're going to fix that over time. And that's the problem I have, because we're out of time. We have to help each other now. We cannot be cutting each other's heads off and putting it on YouTube, okay? It's
right.
Not cool.
Right.
It's not cool. And you think that we're going to be able to go out there and talk to an extraterrestrial? And they know this. They know that we're in the, but they also know that we're being manipulated, and they don't like that. And they're going to intervene.
Let me jump in really quick before we hit this break, Emory. How did the instructions come in? You received the tissue samples. And you are told what to do, and you do the procedure, right? At what point did you elevate from tissue samples to walking in one day, and now you have got the body, the corpse of an ET lying in front of you?
That's a great question. I didn't mean to jump ahead, and you know I do this a lot.
No, that's fine, Emory.
I apologize to everybody. But I just, you know, there's this, it's so much information in my head. But, you know, on the basics of people that don't know what I've been through and have not been following what's been going on, you arrive to a base, and the base is on a base. So you have a military base that has a base within a base. And you have to go through security precautions, like you're checking in at the airport times 1,000. That means you have to go through 3 of those security checkpoints. With many security things that we can get into specifically if you want. And, you know, once you go through all that, you do have a containment area, a locker room that you change out into. And once you change out into for layman's terms, let's say scrubs, like we do with medical, because that's my specialty. I love medical. And we're, you know, we change into these scrubs, and then, you know, we get into these suits, and these suits have their own atmosphere, so you know. And the atmosphere, protects everyone. It's all pressurized. All the hallways are pressurized. All the operating room laboratories are pressurized. And, you know, just so everyone knows, we're talking, an underground facility that is in a diamond shape that goes down about 175 floors. And that, you know, each floor has, you know, over a few hundred of pressurized laboratory operating rooms. So it's a lot, as I'm getting, just for the medical facility, by the way. It has nothing to do with the other stuff they're doing. And these other areas are for collecting, specimens and things like that. And you're giving a folder, and they call it the folder, and everyone makes fun of me because of this. I don't care. And it is like an iPad that's clear, transparent, made of zirconium and graphene, and it has a three-dimensional holographic imaging. It's kind of like a giant iPad that shows everything that's connected to the facility. And you do have a bracelet on you that they know where you're at all times, and you do not stray off the hallway. When you are on, red 27, you will follow the red line on the floor, and there's very many color-coded lines on the floor, and you walk to that area, and there are guards and people there that help you, get into your operating room. And those, so let's say I'm red 27. I pick up my folder after I changed out. Then I got to get in my space suit. And then once I get in my suit, they hook it up, and then they pressurize me, and I got to go through two pressurized chambers, and then now I'm in the facility that I have to, get a tissue sample that might be just, a couple millimeters big, or it might be a whole body. And then, once you're only allowed to know, okay, and I'll just say this for to be really layman's terms. All right, you need to get in here, grab that toenail, take that off, put it in this bottle, and put it through the wall, and they take it, and then you're on to the next room. And I'm not allowed to say, well, where'd that foot come from? And that's not a human foot. And you're not allowed to ask any of that. And that's how I was able to keep going, because I'm just really good at secrets and keeping my mouth shut. But at the same time, your mind starts, going. You start wanting to know a little bit more. You start, complying to what they want you to comply to, so you can get more advancements to get better jobs and also become, trustworthy in a facility. And that's what happened. So you have this, clear iPad that is very thin. It reminds me of X-ray film, because it's got that elasticity of that polycarbonate plastic.
Okay, yeah. Emery, let me jump in. I got to take a break, so we'll start right there and pick up right there when we come back. This is Coast to Coast AM. Our guest tonight, Emery Smith. Stay with us.